Welcome to the AMC Stock Story Podcast. I'm your host, Russell Corey, and this is not financial advice, and I am not a financial advisor. This is solely for entertainment purposes as I talk about my experiences of investing in AMC stock and becoming an AMC ape. Episode 8, AMC YouTubers. If you've ever read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, he talks in the book about some people are just born at the right time and the situation they're in is just perfect. Like people talk about Earth is in the perfect location to support life. Any closer, any further away, and it couldn't happen. But we're right in that sweet spot for a planet to sustain life. And an example that Malcolm Gladwell gave in his book was Bill Gates. That Bill Gates came along just at the right time in the computer's development. Any earlier, he probably never would have had access to a computer, to exclusive. Any later, he would have missed. You know, someone else would become the next Bill Gates. But he was right there at that time, where an enterprising kid like him, who had family connections, where he was able to get in and have access to computer and get computing time at a time when that was pretty exclusive, and he was developing some pretty exclusive skills, and he was able to, you know, put that forth and you know, set up Microsoft at just the right time, and that's how Bill Gates happened. It's not like at the time there were 100 Bill Gates, and he just worked harder than everybody else. Not to say he didn't work hard, but he was at the right time at the right moment, and with that ambition and passion for computing, he was able to, you know, cash in big time, obviously. So my point that I'm getting to is that these meme stocks, you know, it's happening at the right time, that we're in an age where the stock market is at all-time highs, a lot of money going in, and quite frankly, probably a lot of corruption, a lot of, you know, rule bending, as we learned in 2008. And we're also in a social media age that connects people like never before. So, you know, you have the wild, wild west of Wall Street going on, and yet you had Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, so all these retail investors could communicate with each other. And then, you know, someone figured out, hey, you know, they're shorting GameStop to death, and they're shorting AMC to death, and a few others. And if we jump in, if we don't jump in, they're going to go bankrupt like Toys R Us. But if we jump in and we snap out all this cheap stock, you know, then eventually the hedge funds, they're going to have to buy it back. And they're going to have to buy it back from us. And if we don't sell, the price, the asking price for that stock is just going to go up, 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 up. And we can make a lot of money and hopefully punish the hedge funds and maybe change the way things are done. But it's coming at this time, you know, back in the 80s, there just wasn't the communication for this to happen. And I think after the fact, I think regulations are going to be put in place, or people are going to know you can't short stocks like that anymore. You're going to get found out and you're going to get trapped. Essentially, I just think the hedge funds got trapped this time. So, it's funny. I think about it in very primitive terms. Like, think of a group of for lack of a better word, cavemen, right? And there's like a woolly mammoth, and the woolly mammoth, you know, is terrorizing different camps because the woolly mammoth knows it can come in, stampede, and take all the food and go to the next one and do it. And then the cavemen realize, and the woolly mammoth being the hedge fund, and the cavemen all get together and say, hey, let's, you know, if we all work together, you know, yes, the mammoth is big, but if we all working together, you know, we can try to fight it. And then they catch it, you know, when the mammoth is in this, you know, like an area where there's only one way out, right? So when he goes into this area, there's only one way out for him. And they've got him cornered. And they just have to keep creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. Because eventually the mammoth has to try to come out. And when it tries to come out, they can attack and kill it. That's kind of what's going on now with GameStop and AMC, that they've got to buy the stock back at some point. And when they do, the price is going to squeeze, and who knows how high up it will go. So getting back to these YouTubers, when I became an investor, like I said, I didn't know a whole lot, quite frankly. And when I remember seeing the hashtags AMC 100K, And I thought, that's crazy. How can a stock be worth $100,000? It just isn't possible, is it? And then I looked it up and I saw that Berkshire Hathaway was almost like was a six-figure stock. And I looked up the Berkshire Hathaway, you know, a ticket, and there it was. You know, it's a six-figure stock. I think it was only like almost $500,000 a share now. And I'm like, wow, it can be done. Now, of course, that is done on fundamentals. Different, completely different situation, but it can happen. All right, so the YouTubers. So you're trying to get as much information as you can as you're making these investments. Is this something I'm just going to put a little bit of money in, or am I comfortable making a significant investment? And you just, for me, I just started watching these videos, you know, to learn as much as I can. Now, a lot of them are kind of clickbait. They, you know, they have these, you know, headlines that are there to make you click on them. But there are some good YouTubers out there and being a part of the community. So I want to talk about some of the ones that we watch. So I'll start with the biggest one, Matt Kors, which is oddly enough, I'm recording this early on a Sunday morning. And on Friday, late Friday, Matt's YouTube channel got taken down. And a few days before that, there was another YouTuber who got taken down. Now they get put back up and you wonder what's going on. You know, were these just honest mistakes? Is this a YouTube thing? Is someone on YouTube, you know, sabotaging these guys? Or is, you know, is this a hedge fund just trying to, you know, screw with them, you know, out of spite? Or is this a plan that, you know, when something's going to happen, when the squeeze happens, they're going to do stuff to take these YouTubers down and they're just testing it just to see how long it takes for them to get back up? So anyway, so Matt Kors. So I started watching it, and I came across Matt's, you know, channels, and he streams live. And so during the day, my wife and I, my wife works at home, and I work out of the house, but sometimes it's flexible, so I can be at home in the morning. So we'll, you know, sometimes we'll watch Matt together. Matt's a nice guy. I like him. It's funny. You know, people talk about the gold rush, right? And the people that really made the money in the gold rush are not the miners finding gold. The people who made the money in the gold rush were the people selling the shovels and the picks and all the stuff. And I look at Matt sometimes, and he's done really well with his trades and everything. But I think he also, like, if you watch his channel, they have a thing called Super Chats. And there's so many people watching his channel, you know, tens of thousands of people watching it and chatting. And for him to respond to people, there's a thing called Super Chats. And I believe people can pay like $5, $10, $100. And that's going to bring their comment to Matt's attention. And he'll, you know, specifically read their comment or answer their question, because obviously they're paying money. And I guess Matt makes really good money off his channel. Now, sometimes people get jealous or they hold that against Matt. But listen, this is Matt's job. You know, when you watch a movie, that actor, they're not just doing the movie because they like, oh, they thought it was a good idea and they just want to do it because they're cool. They got paid to make that movie. You're watching someone on television, you know, give you the weather report. It's not just they're really into weather and they're cool and they want to be part of the weather community. That's their job. They get paid, you know, to do the weather report. Matt, you know, he's a YouTuber and he's on there. And if you don't want to watch him, you don't want to pay him, you don't have to. But he's providing a service to people. You know, how good the service is, that's up to you to decide. But even if it's just for a place to go, and like for me, it's nice to be around people that are in this with you. And certainly you get that with Matt Kors as he streams the market all day. But I think he, you know, coming out of this, I think he's probably in the best position. Imagine if this hits, right? If this really pops and you're going to get flooded with these instant millionaire stories and the media, it's only natural that you're going to want to try to find the leaders of this. Who's the Bill Gates? Who's the Steve Jobs of this movement? And Matt, I think, is really positioned well. He's a young guy, presents himself well. He, you know, not as edgy as some of the other, YouTubers. And, I think he's in a really good shot to, you know, as far as developing a brand and coming out of this as sort of the mean stop guy. I think that's definitely possible. The next big one is Trey Trades. He's the other one that gets a lot of headlines. He doesn't really stream like Matt does. And I like Trey's story. You know, obviously, the guy, he's an Army veteran. And there's the great clips of him reacting. I love his emotion. Sometimes for me, you know, these guys, and this is true for Matt too, you know, they get very technical in their analysis of this stuff. And like, here's this, you know, trending line and that trending line. And at first, okay, that's great. And I think for other stocks, that's perfectly fine and probably true. It's just in the case of AMC, it just seems that certainly at this point, there's so much manipulation going on that it's trying to like, you know, be a commentator analysis on a sporting event that's completely rigged, you know, and it's hard trying to take that seriously. You know, this analysis of, well, we're going here and we're going here, or we hit this bottom, or there's a line of support here, when it's completely rigged. I'm not saying it's all baloney, but there's a part of me that's like, come on. But at any rate, they both do that. But Trey's a great guy. I like watching his videos. But it's more I like him. I like his story. And I don't really get too much out of his videos anymore. I just kind of watch him for his personality, to be honest. That I'm, you know, we're all vested in this guy. It was great. He did the classic interview with the CEO of AMC. And this is a time when people were wondering if there were the naked shorts. And the CEO adjusted the camera on his laptop. And for a brief second, you saw that he wasn't wearing pants. And a lot of people, and I imagine this will come out years later in books and everything, if that was the secret signal from the CEO that, yes, there's naked shorts out there, that you guys are on to something. Keep holding your stock because it's going to be huge. So anyway, so that's Matt and Trey. Now, when I got into it also, and you start reading reactions and memes and people, you know, posting comments, I started seeing these comments about this guy named Lou. And it was a little strange. It was like Lou this and Lou that. And then someone had posted some picture of, was it Uncle Fester from the Addams Family, you know, bald guy. And as a bald guy, I can relate a little bit. But at any rate, and I was like, who is Lou? What is going on here? And anyway, so and then I started watching these Lou versus Wall Street videos. Now, Lou has a very different take than most of the YouTubers. And Lou doesn't really call himself a YouTuber. He doesn't do super chats. He doesn't sell merch. He doesn't try to, you know, get you to, you know, sign up with Webull or, you know, Public or some other brokerage. And he tells these stories. Supposedly Lou's story is that he was involved in tech and finance. He's from New York, Puerto Rican, and he's a very New York guy. That this guy is not. It's very street with Lou, and quite frankly, that's refreshing. And I liked, you know, hearing from him just because it was so different than the other analysis that you were getting. Now, I was a little suspect, you know. A lot of people thought Lou was in the bag with the hedge funds, and he had been hired by the hedge funds to try to steer people into maybe selling early. He tends to do that. Like a lot of people say, oh, you need to hold on for $100,000, and Lou's like, hey, set your brackets for, you know, $1,000, $5,000, and you know, don't hold on thinking you're going to sell your share for $100,000, $500,000, because nobody's actually going to buy it at that point. And you don't want to lose your chance for buying opportunity. So some people say, well, is he just being real? Is he being honest? And is that good advice? Or is he, you know, working for the hedge funds that want you to sell early? Now, Lou is interesting because he talked about two sets of books early on. And he said, well, there's the price that you see on the ticker, and then there's the real price for the stock. And he mentioned that, and then like within a couple of days, these leaks came out, supposedly, of what the stock is really worth. Like it was like, I think this was back in early June, and it was like, you know, $1,200 a share and stuff like that. And it was like, oh wow, is it really worth that much? Is it really worth that much? That what was happening was that the stock, these buy orders that were being put in from the retail people, they were being kept off the market. The sales were going through, but the buys weren't, and they were just stacking up, And they had to keep account of, you know, what, how much is stacking up and how much is it really worth. And that's where these two sets of books came, like, you know, on the ticker, it's at trading at, you know, $50. In reality, it's worth $1,200. Lou brought that up, and he was, and eventually, you know, a lot of people, they gained a lot of traction with people, and the manipulation. So a lot of what he said, you know, started to, you know, you started to see news stories and stuff leaking out about it. Now, the thing is, you know, people talk about spies and plants, that you usually have to, you know, give enough truth to seem credible. And then you'll get the zinger. You'll get the one thing that they want you to slip up on. So it's like, hey, we'll give you some truth. We'll give you some truth. Now we're going to give you the PC information that's really going to benefit us and hurt you. But at this point, you really are hooked in and you believe it. So some people, you know, feel that way about Lou, that can you really trust him? Or, you know, is he making up these sources? Does he really have these things that he's doing? You know, but it's interesting. But I'll be honest, I watch his videos. I do it with a grain of salt, but I'm curious to, you know, see what he thinks about. He also talked about the short squeeze as being a controlled event, that the Fed's coming in and stepping in. And when it happens, the buy button's going to disappear, that you're not going to be able to buy AMC stock when this squeeze happens. You can sell. So if you're in, you're in. And what you have is what you have. And it's going to be a managed sell-off. So that'll be interesting to see if that holds true. So that's Lou versus Wall Street. Another cool YouTuber that I like is Masked Investor. He does a lot of streaming before and after Matt, kind of like the lead-in to Matt at times. And this guy's really cool. He has the best opening. I love his the theme, the opening credits that he does on his videos. That's really great. And I like this guy. Very cool guy. And you know, just, you know, a lot of these people, it comes down to two things. They have good advice. Do they seem, you know, does this a good knowledge? And also, are they just kind of cool to hang out with? And it's nice to hang out with people. And Masked Investor certainly is one of those guys. Cool, calm, and collective, as he likes to say. And it's funny, he wears a mask, so he doesn't really tell anybody his identity. But I like the Masked Investor. Another YouTuber that I like is Claybro, and I like this kid. It's funny, one of the interesting things about this, look, I'm a Gen X guy, and, you know, my interaction with, you know, younger generations is fairly limited, so it's been interesting watching these, you know, YouTube videos and seeing Matt and these other guys that are so young in their 20s, and they do know so much about, you know, the market. I'm not saying they're all experts. And I, you know, you trust everything they say, but they certainly are passionate about these things. And they've got they have their own, you know, TV channel set up. And that's a pretty amazing thing. You know, when I was in high school, I actually did have a video camera and we made goofy videos. We just joked around. These guys have cameras and they're literally influencing, you know, thousands and thousands of viewers who are investing, you know, millions of dollars in the market. That's pretty amazing. And again, Claybro, young guy and, you know, good information, but he's just kind of a, you know, cool person to hang out with. And I think he's a good YouTuber to watch. There's another guy, Chris Norlund. Last name is Norlund. And Chris is interesting. He's Vietnamese. And I was, you know, late at night, I was, you know, it's hard to sleep during all of this. And I'd log on just to see if anybody was live talking about like pre-market opening. And this guy Chris was doing it, and he was a professor in finance, and he was kind of getting into you know, streaming, and he was talking about AMC. Anyway, it's funny that, you know, this guy, he is, as you talked, and he talked, and you know, you put comments in, but you know, I lived in Oregon. He lived in Oregon. I lived in North Carolina. He had lived in North Carolina. And it was kind of interesting. You learn all these, you know, things you have in common with people. So that was pretty interesting. But he's, you know, he's not quite as bullish on AMC as a lot of people are. I don't know where he is right now, but I know when I was watching him in the beginning, he wanted to buy more AMC stock and his wife wanted him to buy more. And I think they did, but I think they got out of it too. But he's more of a fundamentals guy. Like, for him, it's about the fundamentals of AMC, and he just doesn't see the stock going up that high. But that's Chris's position. I don't really watch Chris that much anymore. Part of it, like, he's not like a big AMC YouTuber. And quite frankly, it's probably that we all have a bias. We want what we want to believe to be true. So we watch people that reinforce our opinions and our hopes. And I suppose I get guilty of that. So if someone's constantly challenging AMC, I don't really want to watch them because it, you know, maybe makes me feel bad about my investment. Although I do recognize it's always good to get a wide range of opinions on something. And even if you know someone, something's wrong. In fact, I don't even want to mention their names, but there's some YouTubers, and I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if they are being paid by hedge funds. They hate AMC. They hate trade, and they just, you know, all day long, that's all they do is dog Trey and they dog AMC. And some of it, I think, is a little ridiculous. Their theories that they put forth. And it's a little suspect. But you know what? I watch them. I listen to them. And I say, do they have a point? I don't know. So it's always good to have your opinions challenged. And if you disagree with it, you disagree with it. But at least you have to, you know, fight for your belief a little bit. And that's always a good thing. Moneymaker, I like him. He's a really great guy. He's Israeli. And I enjoy watching his videos. Galactic Finance, this is again another young YouTuber. This kid really looks young. He's you know, nice guy, but he wears a suit. He got these, you know, young, very young look, and, you know, blonde hair, and he, you know, it just looks like, you know, the typical, you know, the kid putting on his dad's suit to do this. But he's actually really good. I enjoy watching him. And it's funny, I always remember kind of watching Matt had gone off the air to do a TV interview. And he stopped streaming his service. So I went off and I found another person that was streaming live that day. And that's what it was Galactic Finance. And so this kid's, you know, doing his show. And all of a sudden he notices, you know, thousands of people joining his stream. He's like, what is going on? And then someone finally told him that Matt had, you know, left to do an interview. And he's like, oh, okay, well, great. You know, so that's how I met him, by doing that. Jackson Hunter is another investor. Again, you know, he's also a musician, and I like him as well. There was recently some beef between Jackson Hunter and Matt Coles for the fact that, you know, Citadel, you know, was a big player in this, and they have different entities. And Jackson was a little suspect of, hey, you know, there's this Citadel that's doing this and this Citadel company that's doing that, and then a third Citadel company doing that. And he was worried that somehow, you know, these companies were working together to manipulate the stock. And Matt's like, well, they're separate companies. You don't have any proof of that. You can't say that. And it, which is true. You know, you can't just make stuff up. But Citadel had been fined for doing, you know, some bad stuff in the past. And it does seem they're really fighting for their life. You know, if you were fighting for your life, what would you do? Let's say there's a volcano that just blew up and you're on the freeway and you're trying to get away from that thing and the speed limit is 45. Are you going to do the speed limit, or are you going to go as fast as you can to try and outrun the volcano that just blew up? You're going to go 120 miles an hour. You're going to go as fast as that car will let you. So, you know, this idea that, well, they wouldn't do that because it would be illegal, or they can't do that because it'd be illegal. If they're fighting for their survival, you know, they'll say, we'll worry about the speeding ticket later. You know, we have to get going. Now, that's just an opinion, and who knows. But there was a little beef about that. And I think Jackson wanted to have a phone call with Matt and kind of hash things out behind the scenes. And Matt was like, nope, I'm good. And so they got into a little spat on Twitter. And you know, these things happen. It was its thing last week, but I don't think it's that big a deal anymore. But that's Jackson Hunter, cool guy. And he has some music videos on there if you want it. There's a guy called the Ape Father, and Ape Father does it. He's kind of like me. You're not going to get any good, you know, technical advice from the Ape Father. It's more for entertainment. It just is kind of a, you know, a hype guy to, you know, something fun, adversive. Sometimes he gets a little angry. Like he does not, he hates Lou versus Wall Street, and he'll go after him. And he'll, you know, some of the videos get a little angry, but, I watch them. Some I watch, some I don't, but I, you know, just as an entertainment, as a diversion, I'll watch the Ape Father. And he certainly is, he is supportive of the ape movement. So you have to like that. Bunny Stalks Up is another one I watch, which is funny because it's a, you know, female YouTuber doing it. A lot of this stuff is very, very male dominated. So it's kind of cool to watch Bunny Stalks Up. And she has good information and good predictions sometimes. So I enjoy that. There's Benji, B-E-N-J-I-E. There's a YouTuber that I watch. Finance News is a YouTube channel that I watch. And then there's Jay Ingram, J-A-Y-I-N-G-R-A-M. Now, he's interesting because he's an older gentleman. And he's a former writer. He's a writer, and he's got some books on Amazon, like me. So I write. You can find my books on Amazon. But it's funny. Like I looked up his books, and being someone that self publishes, I was first struck by, like, he uses the covers that automatic ones, the templates. Instead of creating your own, you know, you could just select one of these and fill the information out. So they don't look very professional. They look pretty amateurish. So there was that part of me when I saw his covers, like, I know those covers. And I didn't do it, but I felt like posting, because he has a lot of, he does have fans. People like watching him. But I was going to put on, if there are any graphic artists that they should volunteer to make new covers for his books for him. But anyway, Jay, he's a nice guy, and I like watching his videos. And again, it's really just for entertainment, for a diversion. He doesn't have, you know, he's not going to give you the technicals and the, you know, all this stuff and this trend line and that bottom, you know. But I like watching him. He had an interesting video, though. Supposedly, he had a friend that had heard that the government was trying to work out a settlement, that they were going to set a price for AMC stock, and that would be it. Now, he said it was a good number. Now, whether it's going to be good enough for the apes or not, who knows? But that was interesting to hear that news. Now, he wouldn't say what the number was. He did say it was kind of in line with some of the numbers that Lou versus Wall Street was throwing out. So that was anywhere between like $1,000 to $5,000 to $10,000. Dollars a share. But again, you can go back and watch his videos if you want. But again, this is just some guy saying stuff on the internet, and who knows if it's true or not. You know what's interesting? World War II, when the Allies were getting ready for D-Day, they wanted to spread some misinformation. So they found a corpse that had died recently that was young enough that looked like they could have been in the army. And they put him in a uniform, created a life for this person, and they put some secret plans for the landing, you know, on him. They planted it on him, and they took him, and they didn't do it off of Germany. They did it off of Spain, and at the time Spain was friendly to Germany. So when the people found this body washed up on shore and saw it was in uniform, you know, they gave it to the Spanish authorities, and of course the Spanish authorities let the Germans know, and they got to look at it, and they saw the plans, and then eventually they did return the body back to England, but they got the information of, you know, where the landing supposedly was going to be, which was not where it was going to be. So I'm always, you know, when you're watching people, and they talk about people that are, bots, or if they're shills for the hedge fund companies, I watch them because even in knowing that it could be a trick, right? But it's interesting to know what they want you to think to know. Like before, there were a lot of bots saying, oh, make sure to sell at 100, make sure to sell at 100. And then recently it changed to these bots were saying, ooh, you know, you need make sure you sell at 300, you know, make sure you sell at 300. And a lot of people pointed out like, wait a minute, you know, these fake accounts were saying sell at 100, and now they're selling, you know, sell at 300. So, you know, what does that tell you? Does that mean you should, you know, sell your stock at 300. No, of course not. But what you read out of that is that the enemy realizes that 100 is too low, that they know this is going to be big, and 100 is just not a realistic number to try to get people to sell out. So they had to up it to 300. That's what you would get out of that information. Same thing with Lou. If you think Lou's working for a hedge fund, because look, Lou, you know, look at Matt Kors. Matt Kors, you know, he's setting up his brand. He's taking, you know, Super Chat. There's something in it for him right now. He's making money that way. And that's how he's supporting himself. I don't think Matt's going to get a bunch of money from a hedge fund and steer people wrong, because that would absolutely ruin his brand and the trust that he has with his viewers, right? Whereas Lou doesn't do all that stuff. So what's Lou's angle? Well, Lou's setting something up for after the fact here. So, you know, why doesn't he do Super Chats, and why doesn't he do all this stuff? You know, I don't know. Is he being paid by a hedge fund and he doesn't need that stuff, and they want maximum, you know, exposure, so there's no, everybody gets Lou for free. But again, we're just speculating here, and we're talking about, you know, what does Lou want you to believe? Lou wants you to believe to sell your stock for around $5,000. And because if you hold on past $5,000, you know, you might miss your chance of making money with AMC. And so, you know, that's the grain of salt that I take with Lou. Is that real? Is that true? Is that good advice? Or is he just wanting to get people to sell out early, so the hedge funds can buy this stock back a lot cheaper at $1,000, $5,000 a share than $50,000 or $100,000. So, you know, there's always that. But I'll say this about these YouTubers and these content creators. As someone that's, you know, that writes books and makes videos and podcasts, and you don't make it a lot of money off of it most of the time, and you put yourself out there, and the internet can be kind of harsh. You know, people make snarky comments, or they, you know, they speculate about you, just as I speculated about some of the YouTubers, and people, you know, do the same thing to me. I know these podcasts aren't very polished. It's just something I like to do. And I don't have a lot of time. I have two small kids. I work, and I don't really have a lot of time to, you know, do a whole production. I just like to talk. And if you find it interesting, I'm glad you're listening. To me, I've just, you know, it's a big event, and it's nice to share it with other people. And I like hearing other people's stories that, you know, they're going through. This mostly read Twitter comments. But it's interesting to see other people's perspectives and as they go through this with you as well. So my hat's off to these YouTubers. They're doing the best they can. We do live in this new age where people establish these brands, that there's not the gatekeepers in the past where you'd have to go, you like food? Well, you got to go get a job at the Food Network, and maybe you get a show, maybe you don't. Now, anybody can have their own cooking show on YouTube, you know, and anybody can have their own finance show as well. So as long as they're not trying to hurt anybody, some of this stuff can be a little clickbaity. They know, you know, if you put the right words, or you say, ooh, you know, $5,000 a share, you know, people are going to click that because they want to know, is it really going to be $5,000 a share? And then you watch the video, and it really can have very little to do with that $5,000. They just put that on there for you to click on it. So I don't like some of that. But I get it. I understand it. That's the magazine cover people are going to pick up and read. So you put certain things on the cover that are going to attract people. But anyway, I certainly appreciate all these YouTubers and what they do. If it's something, when you get into it, just, and also I would say this, if you do watch these channels, subscribe to them. Even if you don't really care about the subscription, instead of giving them money, just click subscribe and like their video, because that will help them. It doesn't cost you anything, and it does help them as content creators when you do that. One, it's kind of like clapping, like they get the feedback that somebody's out there watching what I'm creating, and they're enjoying it. And also, like I said, it does help them. It makes their videos more relevant in searches when they come up. So that's my take on AMC YouTubers. And on the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to talk about what my why is. If you're into this, you know, you probably know what that means. But the why is, why are you doing this? Why are you holding this stock when everybody tells you to sell. Why are you doing this? So on the next episode, why am I doing this?